Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Fred Obiero.
Jessica Hope Elias is the VP of Launch for Reef Technology, the largest operator of mobility, logistics hubs, and neighborhood kitchens in North America, with a network of 4,500 locations and over 15,000 employees. Prior to joining Reef, Jessica served as the Director of Enterprise Project Management for City National Bank of Florida, one of the largest financial institutions based in the state. She is dedicated to supporting her community and women's leadership and currently serves on the United Way of Miami-Dade's Young Leaders Executive Committee. She recently founded a startup nonprofit called Hopetopia to encourage and support women empowerment. Thank you for joining us today, Jess.
Thank you for having me.
In the context of project management, return on investment, or ROI, is a calculation that is used to measure the efficiency and effectiveness of the investment into a project or program. What best practices can you share with us on how to effectively evaluate the ROI on a unique project?
Honestly, I think beyond defining the value monetarily, you really need to understand what the other value is. So what are you considering to be a successful, you know, quote, return on your investment? And over what period of time do you reasonably expect to attain that value? So what that means is, what does your success look like? Who is your audience? What are you trying to reach? What are your KPIs? What are your goals? It's easy to define monetarily when you're selling a product, what your expectation is on that recoupment, but you could pay yourself back and still end up failing at the next level, right? Maybe you pay yourself back on the investment and then clients stop using it. There's something wrong with the support. They're all excited to try the product at first and then it flops after that because it wasn't thought all the way through. So I think you really need to understand the full return and define that properly.
Great. Looking at business disruption and the COVID-19 pandemic, what type of an impact has that had on your organization from an IT perspective?
So we're an IT startup. We're a tech startup. So it's had a huge impact on our business. We started off as a parking company. So with people staying home, there's not a lot of parking business going on. But luckily, we had pivoted into the ghost kitchen space, recently, over a year ago, and it has blossomed, obviously, during COVID-19, where everyone has been ordering online, and our platforms are mostly online. So it has been wonderful. It has also allowed us to iterate very quickly on our IT platform. So we learned very quickly what was or wasn't working on uncertain systems. When we would work and partner with Uber Eats or Grubhub, Postmates, et cetera, we learned how to quickly integrate with those platforms and how to deliver that within our vessels quickly as well. And then how to report on those issues. So for example, if we have an issue in the vessel where it's repeating the same order, we have to quickly assess what that problem is and then go back to our partners to decide whether it's something internal that we can fix, it's a coding issue, it's a design issue, or it's just the way that we've set it up in that specific location. So it's kind of been going through these iterations a lot quicker than we ever anticipated, but it has been wonderful for innovation and creativity.
Before I go to my follow-up question to that, there's something that you mentioned in your response that for listeners that have never heard the term ghost kitchen, what is ghost kitchen?
So a ghost kitchen concept is essentially working with partners who have a brick and mortar store already that want to reach other markets that they currently are not in without having to go into another brick and mortar store. We offer a mobile vessel in an area like, let's say, if you're familiar with Miami, if you're in the Fort Lauderdale area and you want to penetrate Miami, but you do not want to get a lease on a brick and mortar or buy property, you could partner with us to get a mobile vessel. And all of a sudden, you're in downtown Miami and you're on all the online platforms selling your product down here. So that's what a ghost kitchen is.
Oh, that's wonderful. What strategic initiatives have you overseen in order to overcome the challenges from this events without introducing more risk to your team, to your team's daily operations? By these events, I mean the aftermath of COVID pandemic.
So it's been tough, I think, for everyone, right? This pandemic has hit all industries and it's forced and disrupted many archaic industries into either transforming, evolving, or dying, unfortunately. Luckily for us, we were able to be remotely immediately. We have employees all over the world. So it was something that we were used to doing already. Unfortunately, our corporate office, which used to have more people in our office, that has been slightly disrupted, but we use Teams, we use Zoom, just like everyone else. And it's been wonderful for collaboration. And I think it's allowed actually people to be a little more productive as well, where we're not being pulled in a million different directions in person. We have daily stand-ups with different teams. So our entire team has a daily stand-up, and then each individual team, you know, within our group has their own stand-ups, and we have joint stand-ups as well. So it's a lot of meetings, but the key here is efficiency. So every meeting has a purpose. You have defined attendees. Each of them have, you know, value that they provide, and you have a goal for that meeting. What are you trying to get out of it? What is your agenda, and how do you stick to those pieces? And also, who is taking notes on these things, right? Are we just going into meetings and talking into oblivion and this stuff goes into a black hole? Or are we, you know, holding ourselves accountable to these things? And that has allowed us to work remotely. And it's been wonderful.
Great. Women empowerment and leadership is something that is very important to you. A McKinsey and Company survey from earlier this year indicated that the percentage of women in senior leadership positions grew from 23% to 28% since 2015. What are some of the advancements that you've perceived that can help promote the progress towards gender parity, particularly in IT?
So the first thing I want to identify here is when you say particularly in IT. So I really thought about this question, and what I find interesting is there's two ways to look at IT. There's an IT-centric company, which is a tech company, essentially, right, that mm-hmm. offers tech services, or it can be like a tech startup like us. And there's also traditional industries that have an IT department. So in my previous job, I worked for a financial services industry, so a bank, and they had an IT department, but it was a very different industry than a tech industry, if that makes sense. And so I'd like to address both of them differently. I think tech-centric companies are very progressive and very, let's say, bridging the gender gap easier. I've seen a lot more women in tech companies, tech startups. A lot of our team are in the field deploying vessels. And there's a lot of women in that. I've started to see, actually, funny enough, women in construction as well. We're enabling trucks with power and water and all of these things in the field. And there's women getting under the vessels and making sure things are plugged in. And I love that. I love the ability to see women in traditionally, you know, men type roles, male dominated roles. Now, in other industries like the financial services industry, I think those are still male dominated in the leadership roles. And so what happens with that is sometimes you get the traditional male-dominated management in IT. In places I've worked in the past, banks, most of leadership were men, and some of the women underneath them were in lower-level management, but I'd like to see that more in those types of industries, if that makes sense. I think the things that are being done are most companies now have a women leadership program or mentorship program, which I think has helped bridge that gap. It's allowed women to specifically have a development plan to get to those management roles. But it really depends on your structure, your industry, and who the leaders are at the top and what they believe in.
Okay. The world of hiring has opened up for a lot of companies, given the requirements of physically having to be on site and a workplace is being eliminated for the most part. Are you having challenges staffing your technical teams to support your latest initiatives, given how many companies are shifting to remote workers?
So I would say that we are almost having the opposite problem. I have so many people who have, you know, inquired about jobs at Reef, and it's been amazing, which is my current company. We are at an abundance of resources, I think, unfortunately, because of the pandemic, where other people have been laid off. But we ended up taking a salary reduction at the leadership level in order to not furlough any of our staff. And we've also decided to hire more in order to ramp up for our future growth goals. So we're in a very different position than many of our, you know, competitors in this market. So it's been great. We found great resources. We've used recruiters, LinkedIn, and just referrals, word of mouth, things like that. So we've actually not had any issues, thankfully.
Well, that's good. And just to follow up on that, things like stress and work fatigue are some of the things that, you know, are happening commonly in the industry today because people tend to be working longer hours. Is that something that you guys are facing at Reef?
Absolutely. And I really lean on my personal values and boundaries to help me deal with that. I believe in, you know, being honest about your emotions and not feeling like being overwhelmed is a weakness. I teach my staff and myself to raise your hand when you say, hey, I have too much, I'm having a moment, I need to do less, or I need help with this. I think we're always taught, especially in our culture, to not ask for help. To ask for help is, you know, a weakness. And I try to break down those walls and really ensure that there's trust and a safe environment. And I do the same with my boss. When I feel that I've personally taken on too much, I just say, hey, I need a moment. What's the ultimate priority that needs to be done today? And what can I do tomorrow? And asking for that help really is everything. In those personal boundaries that I talked about, you know, I teach my staff, just because I ask you to do something doesn't mean you need to drop everything you're doing and pivot and immediately do that thing. You know, we use Asana, and we have all of our items in our backlog. We have an intake form, and it's amazing. You have a thought, you put it in the backlog, and you assess the priority and deal with it later. And when you need a moment, you take a timeout. It's okay. You know, make sure you assess your priorities and go to the things you need to, and don't feel that you need to do everything all the time. I have a saying, if you're doing everything, you're really doing nothing, because you can't do it all at once.
That is true. And I'm curious to know, given how, you know, a lot of people are working remote, what ways do you have your team engage in, you know, social activities, so that, because it's the physical presence of people being together in the same office, that's not there anymore, at least for the foreseeable future. How do you guys go about doing team events in a remote setting?
So a couple different things that team events for ourselves. We have like virtual happy hours. We have some meetings where we might not even talk about work. We just have a quick meeting. Hey, how are you doing? How are you feeling? How, you know, what's going on in your life? Let's catch up. And it allows us to decompress, sort of vent a little bit. And, you know, we just formed my team. I started with Reef Technology about 3 months ago, and I hired most of my team in the last 3 weeks. So we're super new to each other. So it's building that rapport and that relationship. The other thing I want to mention is social and community involvement, which is highly important to me as well. I am part of the United Way of Miami-Dade Young Leaders Executive Committee. I am also forming my own nonprofit for women empowerment, as we talked about earlier, called Hopetopia. So I am a strong advocate for being involved with your own community. And my team is spread out throughout the U.S. We're in different places, New York, Austin, L.A., the Panhandle in Florida. So I can't have them all here or join the events that we do here, but I always encourage them to join virtual events for their community or do socially distanced events where maybe they can give back to the communities where they live. And they love it. They, the people that I've hired share that same passion. So it's been great to talk about those different types of events that we each go to and support each other.
Giving back is something that you clearly value a lot. What was the biggest motivation behind you starting your nonprofit, Hopetopia?
Let's see. So many things go into making those decisions, right? People only see the results. They have no idea all the things that you had to go through and think about prior to seeing the result. But for me, the genesis was just having a community of women who supported each other. I think that being in an IT environment, as we talked about earlier, it's already hard enough for women to penetrate those markets. And a lot of other, you know, banking, real estate, some of these other male-dominated industries are really difficult. And what that turns into sometimes is women competing against each other. And then, you know, there's always this, you know, watch your back type of thing. And I wanted to break that down. I wanted us to support each other and elevate each other. And we talk every month about different topics. So giving and getting advice, building a personal brand, decision fatigue, boundaries, things like that, confidence. And I love that it allows us to give each other different perspectives. And we lean on each other to hold each other accountable and learn from each other. You know, someone else can provide a perspective that you otherwise never would have thought about or understood or whatever it is, right? And so having those conversations together really enlightens us and helps us grow and create strong relationships. And as women that are successful in all of our industries, it's amazing to have that.
When it comes to innovation, what strategies do you implement that consistently help you come up with unique ways to solve certain problems for your products and services?
So I thought about this a lot, and really the answer is kind of simple. We're a startup. So everything we do is innovation centric. Every time we decide to iterate or start something new, we're not afraid to just jump out and try it. We're currently getting into the micro fulfillment business or proximity as a service. So this is also known as last mile delivery. And we've partnered with some major companies, Fresh Direct is one of them, where we're delivering their products as the last mile to their clients. This is something that we've pivoted since really the pandemic. And we've also started a healthcare vertical where we partnered with, you know, big partners like the NFL and the NBA to do COVID-19 testing through one of our partners, Carbon Health. And we also had partnered with BioReference previously. So it's just been such an interesting journey to try something new. Anytime there's a need or a use case or some type of desire, we just pop it up and we're able to learn and iterate from that. So I think for us, innovation is on a daily basis. We sit down and, you know, we'll join virtual sessions where we just strategically map out, okay, how does this work on our ghost kitchens? How could this work for fulfillment? Who is doing what? Do we need to hire more people? Can the existing people do that today? Do we need to hire truck drivers? Do we need to, you know, hire whatever it is to fulfill that need? And so every day it's just massive innovation.
Follow-up question. You talked about how Reef partners with NFL and the NBA and so on and so forth. What role does Reef play in this type of partnership?
That's something that I would not be able to answer. That's more on a business development side. I know that we have certain requirements that we have for them, but I would not be able to give you the details.
Okay, that's understandable. All right. You led a project management office for a long period of time while at City National Bank of Florida. How has the project management industry changed over the past 5 years in your experience? And also, what do you predict will happen over the next 5 to 10 years in the project management space?
So my answer to this is actually the same for both. Over the last 5 years, I think project management itself has become less formal, less rigid, and just more agile overall. Coming from City National Bank, where I helped build that project management office, and then I ran it for the last 6 years, it was much more traditional, more waterfall. All of our partners were, you know, providing a service, and we were mostly beholden to their timelines, their, you know, coding, their freeze dates. And everything was just build all the scope and requirements from the beginning, wait 3 to 6 months for a product to be built, test it in UAT, provide our problems, iterate, and then deliver a product that 6 months later may not even meet our needs anymore. And so I did that for a long time, and I realized I needed a change. I needed something different. And so when I came to Reef, I started to introduce a lot of traditional project management terms, right? Six Sigma, what agile project management truly is, lean, Kanban, all of these things. And what I found immediately was everyone on the team without any project management experience knew the process, but not the terms. So I would say, okay, a stand-up or a scrum master, or we talked about doing t-shirt sizing or playing poker when you're, you know, figuring out your team's velocity and how to do the task sizing. And it was amazing. They all said, oh yeah, you just do this, this, and this, but they didn't know what the words were. So what it immediately showed me was more and more people are doing things in an agile project management framework, but it's less traditional. It's less rigid. It's much more innovative, intuitive. And that's really the principles of agile project management, right? People over process and tools. And I love that being in this environment, I get to see that firsthand. And I think, you know, going forward in the next 5 to 10 years, that's going to spread even more to a lot of other industries.
That's great. Do you have any opinion on the automation of some project management tasks? This is something that's been coming up over the last few years. I can talk of aspects such as robotics process automation. Do you see that having an impact on the project management industry?
Oh my God, yes, hugely. AI, robotics, all of those things. I don't think that they would replace project managers. I think project managers, you always have to do this analog to digital mapping, right? What is the current process? And it requires a human to sit down and say, who does what? How do they do it? You know, what could be improved? And how do we map that? And then you turn that into a system, right? You take that analog process and you put it into a digital solution. And then you use the data and analytics over time to build your AI and to build the robotics of, okay, instead of a manual person, you know, closing a task in Asana, right? The idea is, once you reach this milestone, then it closes. And whether that's Asana, Monday.com, Smartsheet, Salesforce, you name it, right? The market is hugely oversaturated with solutions. So who's going to be either the middleware to create those automations, or what system is going to be able to agnostically do all of that together and continue to iterate and scale for the future? Or is there just, you know, something in the middle that you just overlay on any system and it allows you to do those automations and robotics? We're currently looking at building more gamification. So like an app that would be more intuitive. Right now, we're talking about building SOPs, standard operating procedures, policies and procedures. And what happens is, this is an age-old problem of, I can build you a 50-page document, right? Here's the manual, it's comprehensive, it has all the stuff you need. But when have you ever, in any job, decided, you know what, I forgot how to do something, let me pull out this 50-page document, even if it's electronic, and skim through the whole thing to find the one thing I need, that one answer, right? Uh-huh. So how do we build an app? Or, you know, we talked about a chatbot, where you just type in, hey, I need to know how to do this, and that one thing pops up. But even in that case, whatever pops up is still a procedure, right? It's still an old school way of, like, somebody had to write something that said, this is how you do it. So how do we build an app or some other platform that literally gamifies the whole thing? So if we're launching in a new market and we need to get vessels, enablement, permitting, all of the steps necessary to launch, get, you know, a brand and partner with that brand, get their requirements. We want to do something where it's like, you get into the app and you say, okay, here's where you start. Get your permits, get your this, get your that, collect 100 points, collect 200 points, whatever that is, right? And then in order to unlock the next level, this is what you need to do. You need to submit all your applications. You need to do all these things. Once that comes through, the next level is requesting payment or requesting this. And all of those things allow you to leverage existing behaviors. How popular is Fortnite and all of these other games, right? It's gotten to a point where, what's his name? Ninja, right? He's a multimillionaire, right? And that was off of gaming. So how do we use that industry, things that people love, PlayStation, all these other things, and bring that into the workforce, into the workplace, where it becomes this exciting thing that, oh my God, I want to get to the next level. I want to do these things. But teaching you, okay, follow this step, do this, go to here, unlock this. And so I think that's the future. That's where everyone wants to go.
Right, last question. And I like this question a lot because I ask it to all of my guests. What has helped you to get where you are? And what of advice would you give to someone that wants to pursue a career that's similar to yours?
So my answer is, I actually don't have a career. I like to change that word. And what I mean by that is I think for a long time, people felt the need to get a job and grow within that industry, grow within, you know, that company, or go to a different company in that same industry because that was your career path, right? We are taught when we're in college, what are you majoring in? What do you want to do when you get your master's, if you get your master's? What is that specific thing that you want to focus on? But I like to look at things differently. I want to look at it like, what is my purpose? What is my passion? And what is my will to allow me to achieve those things? And that's what has gotten me to the place that I'm at today, right? I'm not afraid to take risks and set my boundaries. For me, my mantra is be brave, be humble, and believe. And for me, those values just drive me daily. And that's what's made me successful. I always want to be true to myself. And if I'm no longer happy in what I'm doing, or I feel that I am looking for a new challenge, then be honest with yourself. It doesn't mean that you're a failure. Find another way to get into the industry you want. Network, talk to people, make relationships, because you never know where your next opportunity is coming from and what you might want to get into. And I think that's when life becomes, you know, more exciting and you realize you're in control. It's not about advancing your career based on, you know, whatever KPIs and goals and all the things that you have on a day-to-day basis. That's great. You should get your job done and you should get your bonus and all of those things. But you as a person in your soul, what is it that you want to do? That should be your career.
Right. It's a good answer. All right, Jess, thank you so much for coming on the show to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Ivy Podcast. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.